Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC. So have you heard about Nancy? It's not a person in this case. It's a new-ish podcast from WNYC Studios. It launched a little over a month ago. It's hosted by Kathy Tu and Tobin Lowe, who are best friends in real life, I'm told. And the podcast has, as the website promises, provocative and frank stories every week about the LGBTQ experience today. And here with me now to have one of those provocative and frank conversations on the air right now, following up from one of the podcast episodes, are one of Nancy's co-hosts, Tobin Lowe, and one of the people whose story is featured in last week's episode, David Gable. David does administrative work for two shows you may have heard of here, Radiolab and The Takeaway, and also happens to sit about 6 feet from me in our office every day. So, hi, David.
Hi, Brian.
And hi, Tobin.
Hello.
Tobin, congratulations on Nancy. It's awesome.
Thanks so much.
So, David, in this episode of Nancy, you talk about living through the AIDS crisis.
Yeah.
You lost your partner to the disease. I'll fill people in on some of the basics. And you found out that you are HIV positive, but that you've recently realized that among younger generations, gay and straight, knowledge of the AIDS crisis can't be assumed. So in this episode of Nancy, you talk to a younger man who's also HIV positive. What were you hoping to learn from him? And what were you hoping he might learn from you?
I was really hoping to find out that it was much easier, things were better for him, he had lots of support, and that isn't exactly what I found out. Medications have definitely improved, and so he did not have a sense he was going to die, which was great. I mean, at all. However, he did not have an easy road talking to his family, talking to his friends, and I was very surprised to hear that.
So listeners, especially gay listeners in your 20s and 30s, give us a call to talk about your experience of the HIV or AIDS crisis, 212-433-WNYC, 212-433-9692. Anybody can call, but first priority for the moment, probably for gay men in your 20s and 30s, tell us how much you know about what your forebears went through and how and if HIV and AIDS affect your life or that of people you know. 212-433-WNYC, 212-433-9692. And if you're HIV positive and in a younger generation, give us a call to tell us how that's affected your relationships, your health, your life. 212-433-9692. And let's listen to a clip of the person you spoke to, David, in this episode of Nancy. His name is Dominique. He's 32, and he works for the Gay Men's Health Crisis.
Yeah. I was very ignorant because I was like, I don't do drugs. I don't hang with those people, quote. I don't do risky behavior. I'm in a relationship. I'm faithful. My partner's faithful. So there's no way that I can be positive. My partner couldn't, even if he was cheating, you know, he had a really fit body, he took care of himself, health conscious. He doesn't have nothing. I wouldn't know he had something. And at the same time, like I said, I was working at GMAC where all the information is there, right? But I still felt invincible and I still was ignorant around the fact that anyone can get it.
So ironic for somebody working at GMHC, which has been, you know, the prime service provider for decades now. What were you thinking, David, when you heard him say he felt invincible?
I was surprised, but he's young, you know, and that's part of being young. I felt the same thing. I was in the 80s not sure what we were not supposed to do. Initially, they didn't know it was sexually transmitted. So I'm thinking, I'm listening to him and he has all this information, except there's still that young thing of it won't get me. And it did surprise me.
They say that's one of the big obstacles to enough young people buying Obamacare policies and putting enough money in the system to float the whole thing because of the, quote, young invincibles. Mm-hmm. That's a phrase in healthcare politics. So at one point during the episode, David, you wonder out loud whether you and your generation went through a plague for nothing. Tobin, you are a younger gay guy. What do you think when you hear David say that?
Well, for me, it hits on a personal note because my dad was a doctor through the AIDS crisis and lost his best friend to AIDS. But there's something about being a young gay man where we choose our elders because there's not necessarily that generational connectivity. So hearing David talk about the plague, it makes it real. It makes there be a connection there.
And not that I think you should speak for an entire generation, but how do you and your friends approach HIV and AIDS? Are people, I realize it's a very general question, but
sure.
Like, are people focused on prevention or advocacy? Is it seen as a disease of the past? What would you say?
Well, you know, you were talking about this invincibility, and I think there's something about how, you know, we have PrEP and we have PEP now. And so there's conversations about these preventative medications that are supposed to protect us. In some ways, I think that that makes the conversation much more complicated about HIV and prevention and how safe we feel.
I'm going to play another clip of Dominique from the podcast, who told you, David, something about how he felt when he found out he was HIV positive that I think maybe was very different from your experience. Here he is again.
And at that time, I was like, oh, this is a disappointment, right? I come to New York to be this great person, be the first person in my family to go to college and to be somebody, and now look, right? Because when you think about somebody being gay, the first thing they think is, oh, you're going to catch AIDS.
What did you take from that answer?
I don't know how I would live with that. The first thing you're going to do is catch AIDS. Brian, that's a really good question. It startled me a little bit, and I want the 80s AIDS crisis to be known, to be talked about, I'm just surprised at this point because it's preventable and there is medication. I gotta really think for a moment about that one.
You can think for a moment about that one, and I appreciate the candor. I've said this before, but one of my favorite answers from a guest is I don't know, because so many people will BS their answer when they don't
yeah,
know.
I would have just started rambling. I would have rambled on. I was very disappointed to find out that the stigma is still really high. I would have hoped differently. We could have continued the conversation because I'd like to hear young people know about the AIDS crisis from people. The discussion between him and I meant so much. How would I ever have sat down and talked to him? It's different to see the normal heart or to see Philadelphia but to talk to someone.
Yes.
That meant the world.
Cody in Brooklyn, you're on WNYC. Cody, thanks for calling. Hi.
Hey, thanks for having me on.
What do you want to add?
Well, I think there's a lot of education, which is great, as opposed to back in the 80s. I had a encounter with someone who was possibly positive. And the following day, I went to an urgent care, and I was able to get the PEP treatment, which is post-exposure treatment, where if you take it within a certain period of time, it can prevent you from contracting HIV. And I did the treatment, and all is well. I've been follow-up tested, and everything went great, but the education that's out there, I think, is really helping and just benefiting that. I think that should be spread.
Cody, thank you very much. Let's go to Tim in Brooklyn. You're on WNYC. Hi, Tim.
Hi there. Thank you for having me. And thank you for having this conversation. It's really enlightening to see people talk about this matter on the radio. I totally understand your point on there still being a stigma. I can understand there is some of that still around, but the reason I'm calling is that I wanted to share my personal experience. I'm 33. I've been living in New York for about 6 years. I lived in Barcelona for 5 years before that. I'm from Europe originally. And I have yet to encounter – oh, sorry, I forgot to say I am positive. I have been positive for about 8 years, and I am gay.
Mm-hmm.
And I have yet to get my first negative experience. The first time I fell in love with a guy, when I was positive, I was very nervous, and I actually kept, having dates without really having sex because I was nervous about having the conversation. I was afraid of the rejection, and it turned out not to be a problem. And in the years after that, I had maybe more casual dates or this sometimes a one-night stand, and I've always been transparent about my status, and I was fearing for these scenarios where I would be rejected or people would actually get mad at me or something. And I have just never encountered that, and maybe I'm really blessed, but I've heard stories from friends in other cities who've had, you know, difficulties dating or even just meeting people because of that.
You say other cities. Do you think New Yorkers are particularly enlightened about this?
I think so, actually. I'm not necessarily, can't compare to other cities in America, but I definitely think that compared to London, for example, I think New York is more open and there's less of a stigma. And even, you know, what I'm particularly surprised of is the younger people in their 20s, you know. I would run into someone or just meet someone at night and actually be very honest. I think that's the other thing. Some people that are HIV positive and know that they're taking medications know that the risk of transmission is close to none, especially if you're, you know, doing protected sex. But even so, I think you still have to be really honest, and I am. And I'm really surprised how, you know, people and younger people appreciate that honesty. And actually, I don't feel like there's a stigma anymore. I've even had experiences where,
Go ahead. I'm going to jump in just for time, but I really appreciate your call. And certainly, I'm sure everybody really admires your transparency. And Tobin, what are you thinking, listening to Tim, including about his assessment? Is he just blessed as an individual, leading a little bit of a charmed life in his relationships, or do you think it's kind of like that?
Well, I think he brings up a really good point, which we tried to touch on in the episode, which is that there's this idea that if you have HIV or AIDS, that your life is consumed by it. And I think that one of the things we wanted to touch on in this episode is that there is a way to survive and thrive with the disease, especially now. And I think David's a great example of that. And I think Dominique is a great example of that, too.
What were you thinking when you heard Dominique say that once he came out to his family, he felt like everyone just assumed he would eventually be HIV positive?
I was surprised as well, to be honest. I was very surprised to hear that, because I think for me and my coming out experience, and maybe it's because I'm the child of doctors, but there was an immediate knowledge there of this is how you prevent this from happening. So I was definitely surprised to hear Dominique get that experience.
Stephen in Manhattan, you're on WNYC. Hi, Stephen.
Wow. Hi, Brian. Thanks so much for taking my call.
Sure.
I guess I wanted to say, as someone, so I'm 32. I was born in 1984. And my generation was the one that, right as we're starting to learn about ourselves and learn about our sexuality, there's something very scary going on, just kind of in the middle of and just after the AIDS crisis. So it really colored, I think, how my generation even looks at sex. And I mean, that's already murky when you have a sexuality that's not the mainstream. But afterward, after graduating college, I got involved with a gay sports league in Boston, and I met all these older gay men, and I realized I just didn't have close older gay men just closer in age to me. And part of it at that point in my life, I realized, was because of the AIDS crisis, was because there's a whole, you know, tens of thousands of people that I never met that were like me. Mm-hmm. So I relied on them to, like, really just learn what gay life was like in the 60s and 70s before it all happened. And just this conversation makes me wonder about how the new generation has kind of gone past that, where they've maybe grown up in the 2000s, and there hasn't been that ultimate fear either of AIDS because of medication or because of even coming out, because of acceptance nationally. So,
David, you want to engage with Stephen a little bit? This is just the kind of dialogue that the podcast is about.
Yeah, I'm loving this, Stephen. Thank you so much. And I'm glad that you – did you seek out older gay men to talk to?
Well, I did, just because I was in a sports league where, like, people were in their 20s, 30s, up to 50s and 60s. So it was really an education I found. And they were – I remember them being surprised and happy to sort of tell their stories, and I was sort of surprised to hear that.
Oh, yeah.
Have these conversations more and more.
I think it's really important. I'm so glad you did.
How did it inform your own attitude toward your own self and your generation?
I guess it sort of opened me up to a time when, I mean, I think every gay person has to settle with how they deal with their sexuality, and I think their openness, I mean, we're talking about people who not only survived a terrible tragedy, but saw people who didn't. And I guess it made me more appreciative of just my own place in the culture, and And just feeling like after coming from living in Boston, I'm not from Boston, so coming to this place and like finding that kind of family and finding that kind of kinship was really meaningful. And one other thing I wanted to mention was, I think it's always really important to say, like, there's kind of required reading for every LGBT person and straight person. I mean, the Tony Kushner play Angels in America, the movie The Boys in the Band, and I guess both that I can't think of right now.
You
but
should
every
see
time
our guest smiling.
We are beaming. I am delighted to hear this.
Of required reading. Stephen, thank you so much. And let's just finish it up with Tobin. Tell everybody who hasn't heard about it yet, About Nancy is a practically brand new podcast from WNYC, and it's not all about AIDS, right?
No. Nancy is a podcast that has interviews and stories and deep dives into the LGBTQ experience today. It's co-hosted by me and my best friend, Kathy, too.
Tobin Lowe, one of Nancy's co-hosts, and David Gable, one of the people whose story is featured in last week's episode, also a co-worker of ours here at WNYC on Radiolab and The Takeaway. So Tobin, David, thanks both to you so much for coming on this show.
Thank you, Brian, very much.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC, more to come.